whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. Have life everlasting. Have life everlasting. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For God did not send his Son into the world to bring condemnation, but rather that through the receiving of him life everlasting, have life everlasting, have life everlasting, have life everlasting, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Okay, and then Sister Rita is here. Hello, Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John.
Okay, and then, yes, go ahead, Rita.
No, I was just going to, I didn't know what you want, if you wanted me to pray or not.
No, I'm going to take over now, and then later you could pray.
Okay.
And then Gigi and Randy?
Yes, good evening. Blessings to everyone.
Okay.
And amen. We will continue to pray for Nancy.
It sounds strange. Maybe it sounds strange, but I'm like excited to go. In fact, right here, when I came home, it was on my mind to make sure that I have the CT scan.
Yeah.
So, because they want that, you know, if I forgot it, I'd have to come back home and bring it back. But I got it right here, and she had 13 pages of paperwork to fill out. We got that done. So I got everything we need tomorrow, but I'm kind of excited. Lord, what have you done here, Lord? You took away all the pain. You took away all the pain. Why not, you know, have healed the crack?
Amen.
I believe that. I prayed for this before. So I have a lot of faith to pray for this.
Well,
do you want me to pray now?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Father God, we lift your name on high. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you in advance for answering our prayers and that you lead us all and guide us and direct us in what you want us to do. And I'm going to lift up Michael and his wife and these people that he's going to be in contact with. And we pray that you would open that door. In fact, we're praying for an outpouring amongst these people. And that it would spread beyond just the family and the friends and all of that. We pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that many, many of the people will come to you. And it will be miraculous. And it will be wonderful for them. And that you would comfort them. And we pray the resurrection power on Michael and his wife to share with people as they see them, and we pray you'd open the door for them to go where you have designated they should go and to say whatever you have led them to say. So we thank you for that divine appointment. And we lift up Nancy to you, Lord. And like I've prayed before, you knit her together in her mother's womb. And so there's nothing that is too difficult for you. And I'm praying that you would knit whatever happened to her, in whatever place, in whatever form, that you would knit all that back together so that she would not need surgery. And we just pray this over her in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, if there's anyone else that'd like to pray. Let's see, Michael, Charles, if you'd like to pray, I guess we can do some prayer to start off with. All right.
Rita was wanting to pray.
Who?
Rita.
Yeah, there she is. Huh. Yeah, Rita.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll pray now. dear Father, thank you for this day that you have given to me. And I thank you for this prayer line, Father. Father, I pray for the people that got killed in that auto accident that Michael was talking about. I pray that you would strengthen their whole being, Father, the family. I'm praying for the family of these people, Father, that you will strengthen them and that you would heal their broken hearts. And I pray that you will anoint Michael in what he talks to the people when he goes to the funeral, and that you would open up hearts, Father, to the saving knowledge of your son, that you would show people at the funeral their need to accept your son as their savior, and strengthen the hearts, Father, and heal the hearts of the family of those people that got killed in that car accident. And Father, I also pray for Nancy. I pray for your healing power to continue on Nancy. And I pray that you give Nancy and Chaplain John a safe trip to the doctors and from the doctors. And I also ask, Father, that you will strengthen and encourage Nancy's heart and Chaplain John's heart, Father. For I pray this, and I pray also, Father, for everyone that is online here. I pray that you will bless us and that you will strengthen us and heal anyone that has a broken heart, Father. For I pray this all in the name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And lo and behold, we have Paula Jean there.
Yes, I am here this evening. And
well, she just disappeared. Literally. Uh-oh. Don't tell me she's raptured and we're all remaining.
Oh, no.
No, I say that cannot be. No.
Well, she was raptured online. Or
there we go. Yeah. That was a good laugh. I like hearing that laugh, Captain John.
Thank you. All right, she'll be back.
So, oh yes.
I found like here she comes. She is here. Yes.
Yeah, I just got kicked out just as I got started.
you weren't kicked out. No, I didn't kick you out.
No,
that happened to Michael too tonight, Chaplain. Somehow he fell off.
And it looked to me like it happened to Sharon too. But anyway, yeah, our systems get disconnected, the phones get disconnected. So anyway, I just want to say that, yes, I would like to pray quickly. But Father God, you have been so wonderful for us tonight, allowing us to hear about that divine appointment you set up for Michael with the family that was involved, the sister, or not sister, friend, girlfriend of Jamal. And Father God, I am praying that this accident, as it's heard by many over the air, over the newscasting, not only at the memorial, but even as people listen to it over broadcast, that it will cause them to consider the importance.
Paula Jean, do you have a, or someone, do you have a radio?
It's not me. It's not me. I have nothing going on in the background.
Okay. I found the culprit who will remain unmentioned. I will not identify okay. the culprit.
It's all right. But anyway, Heavenly Father, I do lift up everybody that listens to the broadcast about that accident that needs to be looking at the importance of how short our life can be and how none of us really know when our last day is scheduled to be. And I do pray that those who need to be reconsidering their position concerning this, your Holy Spirit touch them in their spirit and help them to be turning to learning more about you and your son and having people come into their life who can actually give them the information that they need if they haven't already received it. I pray many people be drawn to you, to Jesus, to receiving him as their Lord and Savior, and to becoming closer to you if they're already walking as a Christian, but not a closer walk with you, that their desire to know you more and to walk as you would have them walk become really stirred up, that the days are getting shorter as to how long it's going to be before his return, and they don't know whether they're going to have a long time to make a decision or not, that they better start making a decision soon. And I do pray many will come to you. And as Gigi prayed, that the move of the Holy Spirit is going to be really active on all of those that you know are reachable. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I've been praying for your wife, and, you know, I'm always in agreement for that complete healing. Not just the removal of the pain, but the strengthening of the connection of the bones, you know, and the strengthening of her bones for any future impacts, you know, that.
Well, that's the two things I going into this tomorrow, I want to know is her vitamin D3 level. And also the density of the bones, you know, because especially with females, as they get older, the bone density kind of thins out. And then that's how you can easily break bone. And so I want to see how her bone density is.
And the other thing is getting some exercise. In other words, as we mature, sometimes our actual activity walking and what have you becomes more minimal, and that reduces the building and maintaining of the strength of our bones also.
Yeah, that's and atrophy can set in.
Exactly. So my prayer is that the good Lord is giving her the wisdom that she needs as you guys get the information that you need, and that he is helping her to retain her strength and coordination within her systems. In Jesus' name, the wholeness. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's go. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to teach from the book of Revelation again, because today I did spend quite a bit of time in the Word, and I have a new presentation that I put together for tonight. So I want to teach it tomorrow night. And it's about the placement of the Lord's second coming throughout the book of Revelation. It's not just in one place, but it's in five places. And the meaning of it. You know, so I think you'll be greatly, they were greatly blessed tonight. I got, last week, they really were greatly blessed, and same tonight. They, several of them, including the pastor and his wife. Well, last week he did too, but, they have a whole new perspective now on Revelation, the book of Revelation, and how it, they're excited how it joins together. She said, I don't think like that old way anymore. She said, I see what you've done here, how you compartmentalized it to the mid-tribulation and the first 3.5 years, the second. She said, it's really, really opened my mind. So I was really happy. So I will teach tomorrow night that what I taught. I reversed it. I taught there first, and then I'll teach here after I've gotten all the wrinkles out tonight. So, all right. What I realized now is teaching something from the Word to sink into people. Sometimes it takes 2-3 times, not just once, but several times. Because there's a lot of scriptures being used, a lot of knowledge, and you can only absorb so much. I mean, even if I'm teaching slow, you can only absorb so much. So it's good to take it like a concept, like overcomers, and go over it, I'll say 3 times, and then come back now and then. So that's what I want to do now, is to go over disciples of Jesus Christ, the overcomers. But there's one, in fact, Sister Sharon here, where are you? There you are. You're all excited about 1 John.
And yes, I'm all.
I have a couple of scripts. I have a couple of scripts.
About Revelation.
Yeah.
You know, so okay. I can be patient.
All right. So I did teach last week on disciples, overcomers. It was either last week or the week before. So I want to go over it again. But there was, let me get it over so you can see it. Oh, you can see it. All right. So what I want to do is I just came across these scriptures in 1 John, and I want to bring them out now because John emphasizes it, and I'm finding my way around now. Yeah, I haven't even set these up yet, and I can't do any better than I have right now, but I'm really excited about it. So in 1 John 2:13 and 14, they go together, and it seems like John is let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the guidance of the Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth, Lord. And I ask, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I ask that the word of truth is divided here by, rightly divided here, Lord, and it's a blessing. Truth is always a blessing. We don't want lies, Lord, or confusion. We want truth, only truth. So we thank you and praise you, and whatever is done in this ministry is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant, that you made with us on Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. So 1 John 2:13 says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. So when I see little children and Father, that's Abba Father. That's how little children see their earthly father as Abba. And that's how we see our Heavenly Father as Abba. But we never, in that sense, grow out of being little children. Because we always have that relationship with God as our Abba Father. Now you go to verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. So it's like repeating. I have written unto you, young men, because you were strong and the word of God abideth in you. And you will overcome the wicked one. I'll get into chapter 4 in a little while. But when I look at this now, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Now, verse 14 says, I have written unto you, fathers. because you have known him that is from the beginning. So this isn't the first time that John has written this epistle. He has written it before. And but what he's making a statement now is, I write unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. And then he says, I have written unto you in the past. I have written unto you because you have known him that is from the beginning. So known him that is from the beginning. So hold on here. Let me get my Bible open and let me open it to 1 John. And John 1:1 here, 1 John 1:1 says, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So, so here the Lord is referred to as the word of life, and they're saying that he is real, and that they have known him from the beginning. That's the beginning of the ministry, his ministry, because they do. The disciples, virtually all of them, knew him either right away at John's baptism or soon after. So it says here, we have heard him. We have seen him with our eyes. We have looked upon him. Now that's very important here. It says twice. They've seen him and they looked upon him. And our hands have handled, they've touched him, of the word of life. So they've seen the reality of the Lord. He's real. That's what the statement is here. He's real. And a little side issue on this, the way this opened, because it opens kind of odd, the way 1 John opens. But back in the day of the Apostle John, and actually to some extent even today, there was a group called the Gnostics. It's spelled funny, Gnos, N-O-S-T-I-C, and that means knowledge. And there were two groups of them. One was Jesus was a spirit being, and that he was only a spirit. He was like a ghost. And the other one was a man, but he wasn't the Son of God. So they were great errors, and John wrote 1 John with that in mind. So he's saying here that Jesus is real, that I heard him with my ears, I heard his voice, I have seen him with my eyes, and I looked upon him, and I touched him. And then he refers to him as the word of life, the eternal word of God. So we come over here to 1 John 2:14, I have written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. So they know him not in the sense like John's talking about, but they know the Lord as he presented himself, and as he presented himself as the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior, and all of that. And then, so in verse 13, he says, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. So he's writing now, but he has written in the past, and he's making like a statement. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. These are real mature believers, and they are deep into the things of God. You could say they're overcomers. Because the next group is young men, and they're overcomers. So if the young men have overcome, so have the fathers. Fathers are beyond the young men. So it's very important that the fathers are overcomers and the young men are overcomers. And then the verse 13, it goes, I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. And again, that's knowing him as little children, that's Abba Father. So we go back I'm going back into verse 13. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. So the fathers have overcome the wicked one, and they are overcomers. Then the young men, it says here, that they are also overcomers. And then the little children. Now we go down to verse 14, and it says, I have written unto you, fathers, because you know him that is from the beginning. All right, so that remains the same. But look at the young men. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. Now, it doesn't say that in verse 13. And why are they strong? And the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So, to be an overcomer, to be a young, when I say young believer, young men, it's not like, you know, you're 4 years old in the Lord. Young men is, you know, 20s, 30s, physically. And that's what this is talking about spiritually. And beyond that, then, are the fathers. But notice the attributes here of overcoming Satan. They are strong because the word of God abideth in you. They're full of the word. They're full of God's word. And that's why they're strong. And that's why they're overcomers. And that we have to apply to ourselves. You know, the young little children are not that strong in the Lord because they don't have that much of the word in them. But they've got God as their Abba Father. So I look at that as kind of like making up for maybe not having deep in the word. But the young men, to be overcomers, and that overcoming the wicked one, Satan, the key attribute here is the word of God abideth in you, it dwells, it lives in us. So that for us to be overcomers and strong, it means we must be mighty in the word, because the word generates faith. The word of God generates faith in us. And when we've got faith, strong faith, Satan can't break that. We can, like in 1 John 3:8, it says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil. So that verse in us, deep in us, what a weapon that is against Satan. You run into some situation, maybe a direct confrontation with the devil in some way through a person, or maybe an attack on you. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil. There's an overcomer. There is an overcomer right there, using that word against the devil in some combat with the devil. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil. So when that's in us, and that word is part of us through faith, growing in the Lord, that is what the Bible calls a young man. You know, young men are strong. They're strong, let's put it that way. When you're not a young man, when you're a adolescent, you're no way strong as someone that's 20 years old, 25 years old. Now, when you get older, we are wise in the Lord. We've become fathers. We're always strong in the word. I guess you could say in that sense, we're always young men in the word. But we mature to become fathers in the word. Like Paul, you could see Paul was a father to Timothy and Silas, fathers. They're mature in the Lord, and they've won people to the Lord, and they're knowledgeable in doctrine. They are fathers in the word, in the Lord. Now, 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, that's the world, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you. Well, that's connected with the word. And the word of God abideth in you. Greater is he that is in you. That's the Holy Spirit and the word. They go together. Let me go to 1 John 4:4 here. We'll be picking up on this when I get to it in 1 John. But right now, I'm looking at the overcomers. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now remember, that's true at all times. But John here is writing to the fathers and the young men and the little children because of the Gnostics. And that's why it says Jesus Christ has come in the flesh of God, because the Gnostics don't believe that. They believe it's a spirit being. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the word of God is in us, and the spirit of God is in us. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Greater ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So that's how 1 John is showing to be overcomer. The word of God abideth in you, and greater is he that is in us, that's the word, and the Holy Spirit. So it all really, as an overcomer here, is the word and the spirit. Like, for example, in Hebrews 12:11, it says, let me go to verse 10. In verse 10 there in the Hebrews, Revelation, not Hebrews, Revelation. Let me read both together.
It could be Hebrews, Revelations?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hebrews, I don't know why I'm saying Hebrews. It's Revelation 12:10. Now, this is okay. When Satan is cast down on the earth. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is salvation and strength and the kingdom of God, of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before God day and night. Now, verse 11, see, so Satan is the one that'll accuse us before God. Like, you're not really saved. You're not a Christian. You have no power. You're a loser. God is really upset with you. You know, that's the accuser of the brethren here. Now, we go to verse 11. And they overcame him. They is the believers, and him is Satan. That's who verse 10 is about. By the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So if you don't know the word, and you're being accused by Satan, you're not really saved. God doesn't love you at all. Well, verse 11 is like the remedy for that. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the blood covenant that God made with us on Calvary. We have a blood covenant. It's eternal. And we've overcome Satan by the shed blood of the Lamb. We've got to know that. That's how you become strong. The word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Then it says here, by the word of their testimony. The testimony is Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And because of his shed blood, I have eternal life. So Satan is accusing us, but the Bible says we've overcome him by the word of, I'm just going to say, our testimony. Our testimony is our faith in Jesus Christ. We have eternal life in him. We have forgiveness of sin. God is our Abba Father. We're looking for the blessed hope, the rapture. That's how we overcome Satan. Remember, 1 John 3:8, and they overcame, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil. So we have to know how to apply the word, because Satan has been defeated, but we have to apply the word against him. And so when we know the word, like our testimony of salvation in Christ, God is our Abba Father, and that, and the blood covenant we have, we're under the blood of the everlasting covenant. See, so this is how you become strong in the Lord. This is how you become an overcomer. We can't, maybe as a very, very young believer, you can be an overcomer without knowing much or any of the word. It's just like on earth when a little baby is born, it's a couple days old or a month old. It's protected on its own by the mother and father. So it doesn't know anything, and the little it can't move really much on its own. But as it gets older, the baby gets stronger and can act on its own. That's how we are spiritually. But if we don't study the word, we don't read the word. I'm big on memorizing and meditating on the word. We're weak. We're weak, and it can be difficult to be an overcomer in that sense when God has given us the tools in his word. 1 John 2:14, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The word of God abideth in you. Now, I have a story that I haven't given it that often, but I'm sure you've heard it here. When I first came to the Lord, I was hounded with, you're not really saved. When I learned about eternal life through Christ, you're not saved. You didn't make a real decision. It was really hounding me for quite a while. Now, I don't know what quite a while is. I'm going to say several months, maybe up to 3 or 4 months. And somehow I found out a testimony of a person that really, or I heard this, someone, in the same situation that I was in. And what they did was, in their Bible, they claimed a word to base eternal life on, and then they wrote the date that they came to Christ as their Savior right next to that verse. And every time they felt they didn't have assurance of eternal life, they quoted that word and stood on it. So I did the same thing, and it was Romans 10:13, August 4th, 1974. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's what I started to do. And at first, I don't want to exaggerate, but maybe 10, 15, 20 times a day, I would quote that verse and stand on it. August 4th, 1974, I confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, again, I don't know how long it took, but it did take some time, maybe a month. I'm just kind of guessing in this, but it wasn't like overnight. And I kept on standing on that verse and the date I confessed Christ. And it left me. It's gone. Because as I confessed the word and stood on the word, little by little, I was growing in faith. So what happened? I became strong because that could not be broken. That was solid as I stood on the word for that period of time. And why was I strong? Because the word of God abideth in me. So the devil had to move on to some other area. Assurance of eternal life. It wasn't emotional. It wasn't built up. My assurance of eternal life wasn't emotional. It wasn't built on sand. It was built on the word of God that I wouldn't let up on in combat with the devil. And finally, he let up and left me. So that's how we are overcomers. Looking at 1 John here. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So we're strong and we're overcomers because the word of God abideth in us. Okay, that's just a little look here into the word, the discipleship. But what a perfect example, you know, looking at 1 John 2:13 and 14 about overcomers, and John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, that's the world, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
I like that a lot.
Good. Yeah, that's a, you know, like, all right, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Mm-hmm. And then 1 John 3:8. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he may destroy the works of the devil.
Right. So that verse is so comforting.
Yeah, amen. Amen. So the more we read the word, the more we speak the word, the more we think on the word, the stronger we get. Little word, little power. You know, a lot of word, a lot of power. All right. Well, let's see now if there are any questions or comments. This is discipleship overcomers. Overcomers. So does anyone? Oops, Sister Kathy, you don't have Statesboro there. I don't recognize.
Yeah, well, this is my new identity.
Oh, you're incognito.
Yep.
But this is no identity, Sister Kathy. It's just a gray charcoal rectangle.
Oh, it's black on my end, solid black.
No. What? Here it's, for me, it's a little bit more charcoal.
Well, I had a call. And I just need to pray a special prayer for a friend whose sister is dying in New York. And this is the sister of a lady that committed a crime here. And I need to pray for the Yolanis family right quick, if that'll be okay.
Oh, sure.
Lord, I just lift up Marianne and Diane and Joanne and Connie and George and Philip. And Lord, they are just losing their older sister, and we just pray blessings on them. I pray that the two daughters of Joanne would get resolved and not be against their mother, And we just pray blessings upon this family and their Greek Orthodox, and just help them, God, and just thank you for love and forgiveness and family and fellowship and mercy and grace. And you are a great big God, and you do great big things. So do the miracle for this family in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Are they from New York City?
Yeah. That's where they were from, and some of them live in Connecticut now, though, but Philip and Joanne live in New York.
Yeah, there's a I don't know if it still is, but years ago there was a substantial Greek section. It's called Astoria, Queens.
Yeah, that's where they lived.
Yeah.
And their dad had 5 diners.
Oh, my goodness. That was the Greeks. Every diner you went into, I don't care where, in the New York area, was owned by Greeks. Literally.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
And then there was.
Because they all got one for their sons. However many sons they had, they needed a diner for each one of them.
All right. Now I'm going to tell you a story. All right.
All right.
Near where I lived on Long Island, there was a diner called the Blue Dawn Diner. So I was coming home one night. I don't know where I was coming home from, but it was late. And I said, I want to get something to drink and maybe a piece of pie or something. So the Blue Dawn had good food. So I went in there, and there wasn't many people in it. And if you come in to the left, I mean, if you come straight in the diner, I'm sitting to the left, sort of back in the corner, minding my own business. So all of a sudden, about three motorcycle types come in. In fact, Long Island had the Pagans and the El Diablos and a couple other gangs. I don't say a couple others, maybe another one. And they were prominent on Long Island. They had made their headquarters there. So these two were really giving the waitress a hard time. And they were, I don't know if they were drunk or on drugs, but they were giving her a hard time. And they got aggressive with her. All of a sudden, you know, they have these swinging doors like in diners, restaurants.
Right.
The door swings open, and there must have been 10 Greek guys coming out. And they had these pans and pots. They beat those.
Oh, my goodness.
I watched the whole thing. They beat those 3 motorcyclists right out the door, out. I could kind of look out the window and see them beating them, whacking them. Oh, that you brought that right to my mind when you said that.
Wow.
Now, I'm not making this up. Okay. I'm not making this up. Back when I was a kid, and I don't know to what time in my 20s, the toughest, meanest cops in America were Suffolk County. That's Long Island. That's Long Island had 2 non-city counties, Nassau and Suffolk. And I just thought that's the way cops were. I grew up with that. And I mean, if they caught you, the cops, and it wasn't like a felony or something, they would, you would get a good trashing by the cops. And there was one cop. I'm 76 years old, and I remember this. He was an Irish cop. His last name was Rooney. You didn't want to be captured by him. And his car numbers, the area was 409. It was the 4th precinct, the 9th car in it. So the one of the, I think it was the Hells Angels, was decided they were going to move in to Suffolk County. Because there were other gangs there, and they were at a county park, and they were kind of abusing and interfering with the citizens there. these motorcycle gangs. So a couple Suffolk County cops came, and they ended up really giving the cops a beating, the Suffolk County cops a beating. That was the wrong thing to do. So, and I forgot to tell you, the majority of the FBI cases against the police was Suffolk County. So if they had like 1,000 cases going on, 500 of them or 400 were from Suffolk County. I'm just giving you an example. So the police waited. They were waiting to get a hold of these motorcyclists. So one of them died, and the police became aware that the funeral. Now, the Long Island Expressway is the main interstate on Long Island. And so the police were all set. They had their tactical squad ready. They had all these police. They had, I don't know, 100. And the motorcycle procession was long. So the police pulled them over and gave them a beating that you just wouldn't believe. They brought trucks in and they ran trucks over the motorcycles. They closed the Long Island Expressway for hours. It was closed. I remember this vividly because there was a Suffolk County cop. He was Big Red and I was Little Red. Tom Verback was about 6'3", with red hair exactly like mine, and I'm 6'1". So they called me Little Red, and he was Big Red. And Big Red was in. I heard firsthand from him. So they had dozens and dozens and dozens of the motorcycle gang in the hospital. That gang was never seen again, Sister Kathy. They got on whatever, however they could do it. They got off Long Island and they never came back.
Got while the getting was good. Huh?
Yeah. So now that you got me into these stories that I don't know how I got into them, but I'm telling you about beatings and diners that I saw. But that was headlines in the paper.
Very interesting.
That was headlined in the New York News. What the Suffolk cops were just. They were not going to beat up Suffolk County. These cops were, I mean, they were nasty, nasty. They'd stop me because I had a hot rod. They'd stop me and get out of the car, punk. Many times that happened. I get out of the car. Yes, officer. No, officer. You dare not talk back. Did you steal this car? No, officer. Open the hood. I want to see the stolen engine. Where did you get that engine? I've got receipts for it, officer. You do, punk, huh? You got him? No, sir.
Oh,
I got him at
goodness.
Home. Oh, but I'm saying in a nice way, you could put the F-bomb in there. No one talked back to the cops. No one. I thought the police all over the country were like that. So,
no, thank goodness they're not.
So there you go. You got a little bit of me going back 60 years now. The Suffolk County Police, they were notorious.
Very interesting.
Now, somehow that's Sharon's fault. I got into these stories.
Yeah. It always is. I love historic stories about people's lives and what's going on here and going on there. And, you know, when you tell a story like that, it just brings back the history of the area of America and everything. And I love listening to this stuff like that. I do. And I spent a lot of time with Bobby and Ariel telling stories and truthful stories, as true as I knew them to be. You know, and I just enjoy it, Chaplain Don. You just keep going on and on.
Yeah, I had a my first hot rod, but my second hot rod was way more powerful than the first one. And it was it was at night, and I was driving down. I was going to my friend's house, and I was on a main road. The cop pulled me over, and I made a mistake in not turning the engine off. So he comes up next to me, and he says to me, "Now, Punk, I want you to hear this. I give one warning." He said, "Those are not mufflers." He goes, "You're running straight exhaust." He said, "Don't tell me there are mufflers on there." He said, "You get mufflers on it." And he said, "You see those tires?" He said, they're racing tires." He said, "You can't be driving with them. You understand?" I said, "Yes, officer." He said, next time I catch you, if you don't have mufflers on it and tires, I'm going to impound this. Do you understand?" "Yes, officer. Yes, officer." So for the longest time, I never went back that way because they had precincts they covered. So I would go roundabout. Right. I would go roundabout. And I wouldn't go into that area. I would go to my friends. I would go like 5 miles out of the way and come back in.
That is so neat.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Anybody like me with a hot rod, you were a punk to them. That's what they call it. And no matter what cop stopped me, he called me, "Okay, punk, get out of the car." "Yes, officer." "No, officer."
You remember hearing those stories of the police officers calling the younger people punks and stuff, and it's just what they did back then. And luckily, there was no more trouble than that could have been. And stuff,
As long as you went "yes, officer," "no, officer," they'd leave you alone. If you weren't respectful to them, forget it. So
that's interesting.
But it started with the Greeks. Now, Sister Kathy, you started it.
Yeah, I was just going to let Sharon take the blame.
Yeah.
On my job, when I was an agent, I had a man that I was close with until he left. He went to another agency. It was George Papantonio. And George was from Astoria. But that's he was a Greek Orthodox, George Papantonio. So
that's a heck of a name.
Yeah. Yeah, George Papantonio. And then when I grew up in high school, I had a very good friend, Billy Pappas. Billy was Greek also. Okay. All right. Gigi and Randy, any comments about my experiences with the Suffolk County Police 60 years
all
ago?
All I can say is I'm happy I wasn't there. I'm happy I didn't grow up in a place like that. I wouldn't want to have that experience. I grew up in a small town.
That's good. That is good, Gigi. I like that.
But it was interesting to hear it, but I was thinking to myself, I'm glad we both grew up in rural places.
It's really strange because I didn't leave Long Island. I mean, I would go into New York City and that, but I couldn't living. I wasn't experiencing living in New York City, but I did on Long Island. So I thought every place was like Long Island with the police, you know?
Well, at least you had good Italian food.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mama Leone's. I'll take you to Mama Leone's.
Sheltered life.
In Holbrook, New York, Mama Leone's. Oh, now, that was Mama Leone's from Little Italy in Manhattan.
Yeah.
But they branched out or they moved, I don't know which one, to Long Island at Holbrook, Mama Leone's. That was Italian food, Mamma Leone's. All right.
That was good. I just wanted to make a comment about the scriptures that you went through.
Yes.
I really like that because we've been trying to, we have two Psalms completely memorized. It took us forever, but we did it. And we're working on some other scriptures. You know, we're trying to do the memorization like you suggested.
Yes.
And so you have a lot of scriptures tonight. I'm going to have to go back and listen because I think almost every scripture that you covered was something I would like to write down and memorize.
See, now that's important. That's if you want, let me, this is maybe, as far as the Word of God goes, the most important thing that I'm telling you and maybe ever told you. The Bible, you have to memorize, or, but depends upon how you want to memorize. Some people could read the scriptures over and over and memorize it, but that whatever way you do it is fine. But verses that jump out to you. So tonight, tonight, let's say I covered 15 verses, maybe three jump. Those are the ones you take, write them down. They are easy to memorize, and then memorize, you meditate on it. They're easy. So when I was teaching memorization of scriptures, I never gave people, all right, I want you to memorize these 10 scriptures. Never. I told them 10 verses that you've almost memorized by reading, 10 verses that you really like. Those are the ones you memorize and meditate on. Those are the ones God is speaking to you about. So right. You never will burn out. Never. It will never become hard, never become boring. If you do what I told you to do, take the words that jump out. So if I'm teaching on something, and let's say I use 20 scriptures, and two of them, like, wow, that verse, that is some verse. That's the one you do. Get that verse, get the other verse. Make a list of them. And those are the ones you memorize and meditate. If there's a favorite psalm you have, do that. You know, favorite chapter in the Bible, do that. So First John was my favorite book. So I took time, but I memorized it. I memorized all of First John. Now, I haven't gone to First John in a long time, but as I go over the scriptures, they come back to me. You know, they come back to my mind. So, folks, I'm telling you, do what I'm telling you to do. Highlight, make a list of those verses that jump out. Maybe you're in church and hear a sermon. You know, those are the verses. I'm telling you, you will absorb them quickly, and you will be strong in the word in no time when you feed on those verses and memorize them, meditate on them.
Well, and I do agree with you that you have to repeat things. And it's interesting because we had a pastor that said it takes 3 to 5 times hearing basically the same thing before you like ingest it. And so it was interesting because when he was teaching, he always did that, where he was repeating and repeating a verse. And then maybe in the middle, he'd repeat the verse. And at the end, he'd repeat the verse. And I have to say, I learned a lot of verses because he did that.
Yeah.
You know, it would be like maybe the theme that he was preaching on. And so, like I said, he'd do it at least 3 or 5 times in a 45-minute period. And then maybe the next week, he'd still repeat that.
That's what I said tonight.
And it was so helpful.
That's what I said tonight about going over something. Now, it's the same thing like with a weapon. It's there was a word for it, and I just can't think of it. You have to be able to take your weapon out. You know, like when we went for training, practice and all, there was a certain amount of times. I don't know if it was 100 or it wasn't just 5 or 10 times. But to have it down where it was without thinking, you could do it.
Right.
It took a lot of practice, a lot. And that's why someone trained. So I was 26 years as an agent, and we would go 4 times a year to the range. And then I would maybe hang out with the local police. And shoot with the local police and that. The sheriff's office, when I lived in Pennsylvania, I was good friends with the sheriff. So my it was automatic reflex to me.
Right.
And I didn't even think of it. It was just you did it. And that's the way you get with the word. It becomes part of you. It becomes exercised in your mind. And boom, it's there. It's there. So you grow in faith like that. So I'm encouraging everybody. You're never too old, never too late. Make that list of outstanding verses, spend time on it, and you'll be mighty in the word.
Well, and that is, that's what they taught me at the church that I came to Christ in. They only sang scripture, and I didn't know any scripture. And it was interesting because we would sing these songs and they were all scripture. And the music minister actually wrote songs of scripture, very good ones. And I was amazed because I could remember all of those. I didn't even know what it meant at the time until later. But I'd be reading through the scriptures and I'd think, I still do that. We're reading through the scriptures and I'll stop and I'll sing it. And I realized that, you know, as I'm studying the scriptures, all those songs that we sang helped me to have a reference with the scripture. And they know that even people like with Alzheimer's, they might not remember other things, but they remember songs.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
And so, yeah, it embeds in your mind. And it's amazing to me because, like I said, I'll be reading a scripture. I'll start singing it because that's from so long ago, but I remember that.
Yeah.
So,
hey, listen, yeah. I can remember songs. Now, of course I was in the world, but I can remember songs from 1962, 63, you know, the rock type music, 64, 65. In there. Yeah, I can remember them.
We still listen to, there's a couple people, they're on the internet and they do scripture songs. That's all they do.
Yeah, that's very nice.
It's all scripture.
That's a good way. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
And thank you.
Tomorrow morning, I'll be at the doctor with Nancy, and then tomorrow evening we'll go into the book of Revelation again.
Amen.
Then, tomorrow night then. So you have to call in tomorrow because I won't be streaming. 717-409-5553. So thank you. Tonight was a good night. I really enjoyed teaching Revelation at the church. And then I enjoyed here about overcoming.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm real serious on this. I mean, I'm as serious as I can be. Please take time, focus on those scriptures that God has brought to your attention, and it'll do wonders for you. Wonders, absorbing the word like that. Incredible. Maybe you could search the word also. Maybe you have some issue that you, I don't know. I can't think of anything off my mind, out of the top of my head. But you could apply the word to some problem you have. You could do that also.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Gigi. Thank you, Charles. Yeah, Charles. Thank you for coming tonight. I think Charles is sleeping. I didn't hear any of that. I didn't hear any of that. Now, Sister Kathy, you're back as the normal Sister Kathy.
While you were talking, it went dead. So I had to, but I don't know how to turn off the one up at the top, but it's unplugged.
All right, I did it for you.
Well, thank you.
And
now it goes.
Gigi and Randy, thank you. I enjoyed talking to you. Sister Rita, thank you tonight for coming.
Well, thank you, Chaplain John, for saying that. Thank you.
Okay. And then Sharon, as always. Oh, we have Paula Jean here. Thank you, Paula Jean.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
And I appreciate
I love people who come in here at the nighttime program. Love it.
Yeah. You know, you've got me addicted to telling my stories.
I'm just sitting here listening, and I'm enjoying it.
Hey, I want you to thank, if you enjoy my stories, I don't know, but I want you to thank my grandfather, John Kane. He was the big storyteller. And I learned I learned the tricks of the trade from my grandfather.
Oh yeah.
I could tell his stories verbatim. I never got bored. I would sit there listening and I never really said anything. He'd have neighbors and coworkers would visit and relatives and they'd love to hear my grandpa's stories. So I would just sit there and I wouldn't say a word. But later on, I might ask him about something he said, you know, what does that mean or what happened and things. But never did I interfere. I just sit there with my grandpa and listen to all the stories.
We had it in our family. If we heard my brother say a true story, we knew that we were in for 1 to 2 hours of storytelling and stuff. And, it was always enjoyable, but he always started out with true story and stuff. So he gave you 10 seconds.
When my son moved to Texas, he came here a couple months before the family came. So I drove his wife and the kids down here, and then I flew back home. So Nikki likes to hear the story. She really does. So all the ways from Harrisburg down Pennsylvania to Houston here, I was giving her stories. So my son asked her when we were there, he said to her, did John talk, did my dad talk to you all the way? Oh yeah. He told me stories. Did he ever repeat himself? She said, no. She said, we had hours just telling me all these stories. She said, they were very interesting. She said, and so my son said, did he repeat himself? And she said, oh, no, in hours, he never did. So, oh, my goodness. All right. God bless everybody. And remember, we're Charles now. All right. Be quiet now. All right.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So, Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow night in the book of Revelation. Hey, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten Son. He gave life everlasting, his life everlasting, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son.